Is it really offending you that I'm not moving down there? I would, but I record these, so. I am. I just didn't feel like adjusting the camera or anything, so the heck with it. I'll stay up here. All right. First, I want to apologize. Last time I was up here, I said next week we would finish this. Well, that was a month ago. It's been a little rough. But last we left off, we were in Romans chapter 5, and we had just gone through following Paul's discussion about what it means to be justified and how Christ's sacrifice actually paid our penalty and made it just as if we had not sinned. That is how God views those that he's forgiven. It's a true forgiveness. It's what are you apologizing for? He takes the sin, he puts it aside, and he views you just as pure as can be. So he's gone through this, he's discussed all this, and as we continue chapter 5 here, I'm going to have to turn that down, it's blowing in the mic. There we go. And as we go forward here, we're going to take a look at, it's not a new concept of God's forgiveness. He's already given us an example of this back when he was discussing the comparisons with Abraham. How Abraham's faith, before he had done anything, before he had been obedient, it was that he believed God. And that was paid to him in righteousness. And so we're going to take an even further look, going back even further behind, past Abraham, we're going to look at Adam now. Picking up at verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man's sin entered the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there is no law. So we're taking a look at this. Adam committed the original sin. He disobeyed God. And as God had promised, the day he ate of that fruit, he would die. He didn't immediately fall over. What God was speaking of when he said, the day you eat of that, you will die, is now he's mortal. He had immortality. From what we can see, Adam would have lived forever in that garden. But it was the disobedience, bringing sin into the world, he cursed mankind. We are now mortal. We are born, we grow, we die. It's the natural order of life, if you want to call it natural. All mankind is now burdened with this. And what Paul is speaking of here as for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there is no law. From that time forward, sin was in this world, and law or no law, we still sin. What he's saying by when there was no law, sin wasn't imputed. We weren't keeping track of it. We weren't. Because up till that point, the instructions we had was don't eat of that tree. Well, we're not even in the garden. That's not a problem now. But what he's saying is sin is still there. We still have that conscience on us, whether we've been told to do something or not to do something, we still know right from wrong. It's ingrained in us. At no point did anybody have to tell you that this is bad, this will hurt. You figured it out. You knew it. We can look at children when they're playing, whether or not they've been told something's wrong or something's right, you still see the offense. You still see the guilt. I think of this as an example is when I was younger, as a child. I had been instructed to do many things, but never did I have to be instructed not to play in the chemicals under the sink. Later on, through school and things like that, I learned that was a really good idea not to do that. There is some wisdom when being instructed, but there's still an innate right and wrong. We're challenged a lot today in people challenging what is right and wrong. Many things are starting to be questioned, what is good and what is bad. But we already been told in the scriptures that that day would come. But what he's getting at here is that just because it wasn't an instructed law didn't change the fact that it was sin. We look at Cain and Abel. God had not instructed anybody not to kill each other. But the minute it happened, we knew it was wrong. So what he's getting at here is just because we weren't keeping track of it because we didn't have it written down not to do that, didn't change the fact that sin was still there. Nevertheless, verse 14, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. So, sin reigned from Adam till Moses. And what he's explaining is, we did not all sin like Adam did. But we still had the sin nature in us. We are descendants of Adam. Sin had entered the world, so we still had the nature. So it was still a occurrence that mankind was sinning one way or another, not necessarily had to be the exact sin that Adam committed. What I believe Paul is getting at here is he's actually challenging the Jewish mindset that was going on at the time. The Jews had tore apart God's law. They had nitpicked it and found all the little details, lawyering everything out, finding the exact meaning of what this word, what they're saying here, and then writing even more laws to make sure we followed that law. And what he's challenging is it's not the minute details of what exactly Moses or any other patriarch or rabbi had written down. That's not the point. The point of the law was to show you, to illuminate the idea that we were messing up. It wasn't a guidebook. It was a spotlight. It wasn't directions. It was just making us aware. And so what he's trying to make clear is not what the law says, it's what the law is showing you. So not necessarily the offenses of Adam, and then he points out Adam was a type of he who would come. What is he getting at with that? What does he mean? As we go forward, we're going to figure out what he's talking about is Adam was a type of Christ. And we see a lot of the similarities there. Adam was a child of God. God gave him life. He was loved by God. But the similarities start to fade off at that point. So it's not so much he was a perfect image of Christ who would come, but he was something we can relate. But we'll get into a few more details as we move forward here. Verse 15, but the free gift is not like the transgressions. For if the transgressions of the one, the transgressions of the one, the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to many. So, having looked at him as a type, now we're going to show the polar opposites of this comparison. Adam sinned, brought about the curse unto mankind, and many died as a result of his one action. What Paul is saying is, just as Adam's transgression brought about death, Christ's obedience brought about life. And so he's going to continue on making the kind of showing us the plan has always been the same. God's treatment of mankind has remained. And he's in the same way that mankind messed up, was disobedient, brought about sin, he's using almost the complete opposite to take away that sin. So, just as transgression brought about death, Christ's obedience brought about life. We'll go forward here. The gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For on the one hand, the judgment arose from one transgression, resulting in condemnation. So, kind of keeping with them here, we got one hand that ended up leading to condemnation from one transgression. But on the other hand, the free gift arose from many transgressions resulting in justification. So it's almost a balance. One's transgression led to condemnation, but we're going to take all the transgression, bring it to the other hand, and now we're going to have justification. He's going to take all the mistake and balance it out. And now we have our salvation. For if the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So then, as through one transgression there resulted condemnation to all men, even so, through one act of righteousness, there was resulted justification of life to all men. This is just kind of mind-blowing to me to just see the elegance of the plan here. How, just as all this bad came in, God is saying, okay, I can do you one better. Let's flip it over. Let's take it from the mistake to the solution. So, just this almost a poetic nature of how it all lines up together. Simple, this was a plan. It was thought out. But just how there is a similarity and a contrast in Adam and Christ here. And it's quite literally a mirror image. With Adam, we had the condemnation come into the world, and Christ just flips the picture over, and all the transgression and condemnation is now taken care of by grace. And so, I guess the other thing to look at here is that we're looking at this, how this justification came to be. We'll get to that. I'm getting ahead of myself. Sorry. Can you tell I'm still a little scatterbrained from sitting in the house for a week straight? So I'll just let Paul get at the point I was actually trying to make here. So then, as through one transgression there resulted condemnation to all men, even so, through one act of righteousness, there resulted justification of life to all men. For as through the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, even so, through the obedience of one, the many were made righteous. So he's kind of trying to do the same explanation I'm trying to get across here. And I guess, to me, it took me a while to wrap my brain around this. Because I never really pictured how it all balanced out there. I've always pictured our salvation as God saying, it's done. But I never looked into how it all lined up all together. How the story remained the same. He took the same plot line and flipped it over for our benefit. He took the same story and tweaked it to the point where it was the mirror image. And so we're taking one transgression and one act of obedience and balancing out the equation. And I just see that as a remarkable balance. And so then he's going to jump back to the law here. Verse 20, the law came in so that the transgressions would increase. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. Wait a minute. The law came in so that the transgressions would increase? That doesn't seem right. He's not saying that the purpose of the law was to make it so we messed up more. The purpose of the law was to show us how bad we had messed up. The transgressions increased. What he's pointing back to what we mentioned before. Back in verse 13, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there is no law. We weren't keeping track. We weren't keeping score before the law. We had an innate understanding that maybe that wasn't a good idea. But once the law came into place, we quite understood just how far off we had gone. And so, the law came in so that the transgressions would increase. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So now that we had an understanding of the things we had done wrong, how bad we had messed up, that made it evidently clear when the forgiveness came, we appreciated it all the more. You got to understand, even today, people still are trying to pay the penance. They're still trying to fight against their own sin nature. They're still trying to The popular idea is that you get to heaven, you're going to go up there and we're going to see a scale. And it's like, if the scale goes to the left enough, well, you got to turn around, you're going to the other place. The scale goes to the right, just enough. Okay, just enough. You made it by the skin of your teeth. But that's not what was going on. That was not God's plan. God's plan is, you messed up beyond redemption. All of you. Mankind, you have messed up. All you had to do is follow simple instructions. And as we know, human nature does not like simple instruction. And he promised, even to Adam, I'll make this right. Believe I'll make it right, and I will. And God made it right. He came to earth, lived that perfect life that no other person could do. Was obedient to the point of death, and because of his righteousness, because God glorified him, he rose showing that he sacrificed himself for us, and even death had no way on him. Why? Because he didn't have that penalty. The penalty for the disobedience was death. Death couldn't hold him down because he had no penalty. He paid the price. And so, throat's still a little scratchy. And so, with that said, the penalty is paid. Now we understand the grace that was given to us. We understand the magnitude of it. Grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace would reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So sin had its heyday. It brought about death. It reigned supreme. The law came in, showed us our failings. Christ came, paid the sacrifice. All that believed, and as we've seen in our examples from the Old Testament, it was always believe in righteousness is bestowed to you. Believe in the promise. Believe in God. And righteousness would be given to him. Christ coming and making that sacrifice was the final display, the final showing God kept his promise. And so now, grace reigns through righteousness to the eternal life of Jesus Christ the Lord. We have that righteousness. We have the solution to the penalty. Just as Christ was raised in glory, so we too, upon death, are raised in glory. We follow the same example. We were following the example of Adam before. Now we are following the example of Christ. Mankind failed. Now we have the solution. And it's always been the balance that God had implanted. So what then? What does that mean? We got this long, drawn-out explanation of what this all does for us. I think the ultimate understanding here is, one, we understand how we were justified. And two, we understand just what that justification took. What it brought to us. How it got there. I think this is a reminder against complacency. Because your amount of focus, the amount of attention you give directs to which type we're following. It's easy to get distracted and start following all the petty, all the little things that get in our way in our lives, all the simple distractions that come about. And when you start giving more attention to those, you start following what we had in Adam. We get distracted, we get complacent, we get drawn away. Even in my own life, I've seen just in the past week, I was easily distracted by little things. Just a slight turnaround in my life, next thing I know, I've completely abandoned being prepared to go back to work, to go back, get back in church. I just was so easily distracted. But just a little bit of redirection, I got back in the Word. I got back into prayer. I started trying to redirect my attention to get myself back on track. How easy it is to simply get distracted and See how much time just blows by. But that is that sin nature. That is that attempt to draw you away. So, in a simple, where is your focus? You can easily start following one type or the other. I do want to clarify, though, before I close it up, is that application is more of what I took away while studying this. I understand that that's not exactly Paul's initial intent of writing that. His initial intent is simply to show us how our sin nature went from being what we had in Adam to now what we have in Christ. And that is a very important to remember. I'm not trying to input anything into the scripture here, but just some life application I found from it. But as we move forward, we did say I'm up next week, right? Okay. We were discussing schedule and I just completely blanked what we decided. Next week, and I'm going to try to make sure that actually happens this time. Next week, we're going to go into chapter 6 and where we're going to see Paul takes what we just discussed here, and we kind of see a preview in the last verses here about transgression so that grace may increase. We're going to actually dive further into that discussion when we hit chapter 6. But I'm going to close it off there. I don't want to get started on the next section there because I will definitely overshoot. So go ahead and close it up. Next week we'll pick up on chapter 6. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for another time to learn from you, to be able to come and worship you. And as we explored this typology between Adam and Christ, and we actually got to see the differences in our sin nature and our righteousness that we have in Christ, I just want to ask that this message brought some wisdom and understanding to those that listen to it. Lord, as I am scatterbrained and I often have trouble trying to explain the simple thought, I just know that your spirit presses forward for me. Lord, I thank you and just ask that we all be able to leave here tonight in safety and just be more focused on you as our week continues on. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.